That's who he is. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. God, we praise you for being a good, good father. Thank you for allowing us to come together one more time. We give you glory. We give you praise. We honor your most powerful name in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Thank you. Bless your people in a very special way. Every need, every situation, every circumstance. God, show yourself mighty. We give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Saints, please be seated. Praise the Lord. Can we just give the Lord a hand praise? Is he worthy of the praise? God is worthy of all of the thanks, all of the glory. There's nobody like him. Nobody like our Lord. Nobody can do me like Jesus. He's my healer. He's my deliverer. He's my soon coming king. He's everything I need and so much more. Praise God. He's that God that answered the prayers of the saints here at 3P's when we were praying on last week, bless the men as they go into the prisons. You know God heard those prayers? Do you know yours truly? The pastor had some spiritual warfare going on the night before we went into the prison. For 3 nights, I'd hardly slept, and all so much that needed to be done, and so much that we had to do, and I was wrestling in my sleep. It seemed like everything was going south, but I woke up with the victory. I woke up saying, thank you, Jesus. It wasn't nothing but a dream. And the Lord allowed us to go behind those prison walls and share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, we take so much for granted. You know, sometime here on the outside of those prison walls, we're asking loved ones and family members and friends, you know, hey, have you heard about Jesus? You know, have you heard about the one that can heal you, that can set you free, that can deliver you, that can give you the desires of your heart? And sometimes it's kind of a nonchalant thing. Well, we saw the same thing behind the prison walls, but there were men whose ears was wide open, who heard the word of God being shared with them, and some surrendered and say, I want Jesus to come into my life today. And I want to tell you all that over 200 men from two different prisons, about 10 different prison yards and solitary confinements where men gave their life to Christ. And I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. See, the God we serve, he's real. So many people doubt him, but I cannot live without him. And that is why I love him so. He's so real to me. He's the only one that can turn your dark yesterdays into bright tomorrows. Yeah. Only him. Yeah. Praise God. He can take Humpty Dumpty and put him back together again. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. So listen, you all pray for me. I may be tired in my body, but I'm cranked up in my spirit. Hallelujah. Because I serve a God who's worthy to be praised. And when I saw these babies today, shoot, it looked like my hip came on. I mean, I'm looking at all of these little babies and I'm seeing governors and presidents and doctors and lawyers and police chiefs and Indian chiefs, whatever. I'm saying, wow, God bless the babies in the name of Jesus. So we praise God today. So glad to see all of the saints in the house of the Lord. No place I would rather be than in the house of the Lord. Then the sweetest, prettiest mother in the whole world, Mother Lee, come strolling up in here. Thank you, Jesus. So good to see you, Mother. Stanley, God bless you. You know, it's just good to come together in oneness of heart and oneness of mind in the house of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know, back in the day, they called the church the hospital. Folks didn't have Blue Cross and guys and all that stuff way back in the day. And people would bring their loved ones, their crippled, their lame, to the house of God. And sometimes they'd leave their crutches hanging on the wall. God, he hasn't changed. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. We were praying, but I got to get into the word. We were praying with Sister Carolina for she'd been having a little something with her ankle going on. And look, we had a men's fellowship here on yesterday, and the Lord really met us here. And I tiptoed back into the kids' corner, and guess who's up on the third rung of the 6-foot ladder?
What?
Sister Caroline. in the house of the Lord. Now, you know, those who know Samantha, you know you don't put nothing past her, right? Amen. So we just thank God. Just accept a Holy Ghost hug from me to all of you here today. Amen. And we just thank the Lord. What do these stones mean? I know I'm going to have to preface that. What do that mean? Where is that coming from? Well, we see it's coming from Joshua. You know, we serve a God who created the universe, who is concerned about each one of us, and who delivers on his promises. We can take it to the bank. If God said he's going to do something, he's going to do it. Take it even, drill down a little bit further. If God tell you something specifically from his word or by word or however, you don't have to fret. God is going to do it. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If God said it, he'll do it. He'll bring it to pass. Let me jump into Joshua 4:19-24. Now I'm going to have to do a little backtracking if y'all bear with me. And look, and when they say the kids got candy and stuff, I said, me too. I can't have Luke eat up all the candy. That brother got to share with me. But we praise God for this harvest time, this harvest season that we're in. I see people are going all out for Halloween. I mean, we got folks down the street, they got 7-foot skeletons in the front of the. I'm like, now what do that mean? You know, but that's another story for another day. Joshua 4:19. Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they camped at Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their families in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over the Jordan River on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over, that all the peoples of the earth, may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. That was a powerful word to people who have come out of captivity, to people who had been under a hard taskmaster, under their leader Moses, who God sent to have them delivered out of Egypt. God brought them out of Egypt with a mighty outstretched hand. And you know, just as sure as we're living, we're going to die. If the rapture don't take place, we're going to taste death one day. And so Moses, the man of God, who led the people out of Egypt, it came a time when his life came to an end. There's a whole story behind that. But his successor, the one who he had mentored, Joshua, the people were in a state of mourning. And they're mourning because the leader is gone. But see, God's not dead. He's yet alive. And regardless of what happens, God is still in control. And so God spoke to Joshua and said, listen, Moses, my servant, is dead. Got it? Got it. Now I want you to take these people over into the promised land, because God promised them that they were going to go to a land flowing with milk and honey. And God said it, and God intends to do whatever he says that he's going to do. I want to just do a little bit of a backstory here, and I want to read a little bit before where we at today to kind of bring a little context to it. Matter of fact, we'll go to the first chapter of Joshua. I'm going to be in New Living Translation. New Living Translation. I'm going to look at first at the first three verses of chapter 1. And this is one thing I kind of just quoted, but it says, after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant. You know, it's important to be a servant of God. You know, it's not so much that we looking to be served, but we want to serve the Lord. See, he said, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land that I have given you. And can you imagine being one of the Israelites hearing that? Can you imagine being Joshua hearing that? God said, just as I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. Some of us know today that just as God may have been with our grandmothers, our grandfathers, our mothers, our fathers, the same God will be with us today. Thank you, Lord. And so when I move over here, because in chapter 2 was when, you know, as they're in their conquest going to the promised land, there was a city named Jericho that was in the way. But the people had heard that these Israelites, folk, God was an awesome God. And even though that city was big and strong, they had heard what this God was doing. And Joshua sent two spies out, and of all places, the two spies to go spy out the city, they go to the Rahab's house, and she was a prostitute. But she said, all of these men in this city, their hearts have failed them because of the God that you all serve. So she hid them, protected them, and they said, look, when we come through here, you just throw the red rope out the window, and your family will be spared. So here God can use anybody, even use the prostitute, to recognize the men of God, the hand of God, and to be able to save her family's life. So then in chapter 3, let me just say it, verse 5, chapter 3. I know I didn't give IT this. Then Joshua told the people, purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. I believe that we as people of God today should live in great expectation. Yes. We should believe God for the impossible. God, I want to see the invisible. I want to feel the intangible. Because God, I know that you're mighty and there's none like you. So he told them to do something though. He said, purify yourselves. In short, sanctify yourself. Set yourself apart where God can use you. Give God some of your time. See, turn the boob tube off or whatever they call it a little bit. You know, shut down the internet. Anybody ever look at your phone, and if it's an Apple or something, I'm familiar with them, and say, oh, you're down 6 hours this week. You weren't online as much as you was last week. I'm saying that's a good thing. You know, maybe it'll be 12 hours next time, you know. But purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. In the morning, Joshua said to the priests, lift up the Ark of the Covenant, the tabernacle that represented our holy and righteous God, and cross the river. And so they started out and went ahead of the people, down to verse 11 of chapter 3. Look, the Ark of the Covenant, which belongs to the Lord of the whole earth, will lead you across the Jordan River. Now choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. The priests will carry the Ark of the Lord. The priests will carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth. He's reiterating who we're talking about. We're talking about the Lord of all the earth. The earth belongs to God. As soon as their feet touch the water, the flow of water will be cut off upstream, and the river will stand up like a wall. Y'all get it? The God we serve, the God we preach, the God we teach, the God we honor, the one we pray to, the mighty rushing river is nothing for him. If you go through the fire, it won't burn you. If you go through the water, it won't overtake you if God is with you. Amen. Verse 14 says, so the people left their camp to cross the Jordan. Huh? They obeyed God. They didn't spend the next 2 weeks saying, now how are we going to get across? God said, go. All right, so the people left their camp to cross the Jordan, and the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. And is this harvest season we're in? Okay, so then look at verse 15. It was the harvest season. And the Jordan River was overflowing its banks. But as soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the Ark touched the water at the river's edge, the water above that point began backing up a great distance away at a town called Adam, which is near Zarethan. And the water below that point flowed onto the Dead Sea until the riverbed was dry. Then all the people crossed over near the town of Jericho. Meanwhile, the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Lord's covenant stood on dry ground in the middle of the riverbed as the people passed by. They waited there until the whole nation of Israel had crossed the Jordan River on dry ground. This ain't no fairy tale. This is the history of the God we serve. The God that we encourage others to trust. You know, that song say, over my circumstances, God, you still reign. In chapter 4, and I'm going to read a few, and then we're going to move on. We're going to move on. But 1 through 7, when all the people had crossed the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, I want to let the saints know we need to have an ear to hear what God is saying to the church. How do we get an ear to hear? We get in the word of God. We surround ourselves with the people of God. Amen. We get in Bible studies. We get in fellowship. We get in places where we can be like-minded saints together and delving into God's word. We so fancy now, we got earbuds. Hey, put it on to the word, you know. When all the people had crossed the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, now choose 12 men, one for each tribe. Tell them, take 12 stones from the very place where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan. Now, mind you, the priest is there with the Ark of the Covenant. The thing is dry. Can you imagine in your natural mind looking and this river that was overflowing its bank now as the water just stopped? I don't know, but y'all pray for me because I would have been like, I better hurry up. Lord, I'm trusting you, but you know what? I don't care if there's water too much. I'm going to get in a hurry, you know. That's just me. Tell them, take 12 stones from the very place where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan, carry them out and pile them up at the place where you will camp tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had chosen, one from each of the tribes of Israel. That tells me that God is concerned about each one of his people. He told them, go into the middle of the Jordan in front of the ark of the Lord your God. Each of you must pick up one stone and carry it on your shoulder. So it wasn't a pebble. It had to be a real stone. Carry it on your shoulder. And he said, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. Verse 6, we will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask you, what do these stones mean? Oh, my God. See, we got memorials all around us. You know, this when we all gone, this banner here is going to serve as a memorial. Somebody may say, we're going to make this building a liquor store, but somebody else is going to say, you know, it was some church folks in here. Amen. because the memorial is here. The stone is still here. He said, then you can tell them, they remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's Covenant went across. These stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever. Right. What do these stones mean? Do you know that we're living witnesses today of this great God? It don't matter who believes it, who accepts it, but when you know in your heart that you belong to God, you are a child of the Most High God, you have to live that. You have to walk in that. You have to have some faith and some trust in the true and living God. So in the scripture that we're talking about today, matter of fact, a memorial, it, you know, is serving, it's a way of serving to preserve the remembrance of something. Where are some of the places we see stones today? You know, look at that stone. That looked like when we were down in Kentucky at the Noah's Ark exhibit. What do them 12 stones mean? And that's it down there. That's exactly what that meant. Thank you, IT, for bringing that up. Praise the Lord. You know, I was thinking about headstones in the cemetery. Some of them, very small, just some dates. Some of them are huge, with a whole inscription of who the person was, that whoever walked by, they'll stop and read that and wonder, what was this stone all about? I heard an old preacher one time say, he was going through the graveyard and he was looking at different headstones, and he saw an inscription on one of them that said, I told y'all I was sick. You know. That's what he said. But that stone meant something to somebody. Now the people, again in verse 19, we're going to move on. Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they camped in Gilgal near Jericho, near that city we talked about. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children, here it is again, when your children ask their fathers to, in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Because the children are going to ask. Why do we do what we do? Right? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. What's the significance of that? Okay, it's a miraculous thing. They did cross over on dry ground, but see, there's the God who promised them the promised land, who told them they were going to a place that flows with milk and honey, who provided a way for them, who opened up the door that they could go through. It wasn't just this miracle. God is saying, because, okay, if we don't go where God is leading us, then where are we going to be? What was going to be the result of them being able, for them to have to stay on the side of the Jordan? They would never have inherited the promised land that God had promised them. But God said, what you can't do is just right for me. They didn't have no boat. They didn't have no ark. They had the God of the universe who dried it up. And so verse 30, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan River before you until you had crossed over. Do we remember how we crossed over some situations in our lives? Have anybody been sick? And I mean sick unto death? And here you are sitting in heavenly places today? Who did that? God did that. Like the song say, Jesus, the miracle man. As the Lord your God did it to the Red Sea, somebody said, don't you remember Moses at the Red Sea? The Egyptian army, Pharaoh was behind them. The sea was in front of them. They didn't know what to do. All we have to do is listen for what God is telling us to do. He said, Moses, stretch out your rod. And I love it because he said, he told Moses to tell the people that the enemy you see today, you'll see no more forever. Somebody need to hear that today. The enemy you're dealing with today, you'll see no more forever. So they crossed, which he dried up before us all until we had crossed over. Then all the peoples of the earth may know. All the people in the church may know. That our children and our grand may know. Our neighbors may know. Hallelujah. What is it that they may know? That all the people of the earth may know the hand of the Lord that is mighty. They talk about mighty ships and mighty airplanes and mighty all this stuff. But we're talking about mighty Joe Young. But we're talking about the mighty God. That you would know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty. That you may fear the Lord your God forever. Does anybody fear the Lord today? It's not a trembling. It's not a shaking. It's like, oh, what was going to do? It's a holy reverence for God. He's holy and he's righteous and he's loving and he's kind. What do these stones mean? My mother passed away from cancer in 2008. And she had a stone made, painted with two angels on it. And it had the scripture for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I don't know how long she had that. She may have had it made in my unsaved days. But oh, by and by, she gave that to Sandy and I. But by this time, I'm serving the Lord. I'm glad for Jesus. And the Lord blessed us with a new home about 13 years ago. And I had some concrete work to do. And I took my mother's stone that the Lord had placed on the heart. I put it down in that concrete. We don't worship it. We don't honor it, but we say, this is a reminder for me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord. It's a reminder, this memorial that my mother prayed for us when everybody had given up. It's a reminder that we were poor and didn't know it. But the God she was serving blessed us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. So the question is, what sort of stones are we leaving behind? You know, what is our legacy? What is our memorial? See, I got a word here that's going to help us think about what kind of stones we're leaving behind, because we're stones. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, you just a stone. Now, I ain't talking about you are stone. You know, I ain't talking about the old song, let's go get stone. I'm talking about a stone. Praise God. See, I ain't always been saved. Thank you. Thank you, God. You know, it's a blessing to know you've been changed now. No, I ain't even going to go there, but I thank God. I told y'all about the time I looked in the mirror and I didn't like what I saw. But it was a time I looked and I didn't see nothing. Oh, but the mighty God, he turned it all around. Listen to this. Let's go back to Genesis just for a minute. You remember Jacob and Esau? You remember that Jacob was a trickster? You know, he's tricking his brother. His brother's mad. Brother want to kill him. The daddy's on one side. The mother's on the other side. They had a dysfunctional family. His mother said, you better get your hat and get up out of here and go to my brother, the other trickster, Laban's house before your brother kill you. So he said, yes, mama, I'm going. In short, that's my paraphrase. So as he leaves and he's headed to where his relatives is, he goes to sleep. Matter of fact, he found a pillow. It was really a rock. And he went night, he laid his head on that pillow. And while he was asleep, he saw he had a dream. And he saw this ladder ascending all the way to heaven. And the angel of the Lord was going up and down that ladder. And God began to deal with the old trickster Jacob. In verse 18 of Genesis 28, the next morning, Jacob got up very early. He took the stone he had rested his head against and he set it up right as a memorial pillar. He go there on the run. He's sleeping on a hard rock, and God meets him right at his lowest point in life. Have anybody ever been low? You know, I'm talking about real low. But God always knows where we're at. So he set it up right as a memorial pillar. Then he poured olive oil over it. He named the place Bethel. What does it mean? Which means house of God. God can turn your wilderness into a holy place. Although it was previously called Luz. Previously it was just called, you know, Luz meant an almond tree. But now that place is called the house of God. Amen. You might want to turn that temperature back down. Folks, it's fanning. It's all, oh, that's the problem. Turn that thing on. Now turn it to 71 on cool. Hear that? Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So look, let me wrap this up. We're stones. Stony. We no longer have a stony heart. We have a heart of flesh. Because we used to have stony hearts before Christ. Listen to this. 1 Peter 2:4-6. You are coming to Christ. You are coming to Christ. Some of us have came to Christ. Some of us are ready to make a move toward Christ. It's not, listen, three P's is not the epitome of who God is, but it's a representation of people who love God and are trying to do the will of God and have seen God work mightily in our lives. And we want to share that good news with someone else. So you are, it says you are coming to Christ, Christ now, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people. How many know Jesus was rejected by men? Do we know that he was crucified? Hallelujah. Lied on, spit on, tortured? He was rejected by people, but that's a conjunction. He was chosen by God for great honor. Thank you, Lord. And you, listen to this, and you, okay, I wish we all had a mirror, but we got somebody sitting next to it. Look at somebody, y'all, I'm going to wrap this up. Look at somebody say, and you. Come on now, that's what I'm talking about, Motherly, and you. See, God ain't through with you. He didn't allow you to be so beautiful and so wise at 96 that he's through with you. God yet has blessings untold for you. Now, I ain't reading that. I'm just, that's just coming from my heart. He said, and you are living stones. What do these stones mean? And you are living stones that God is building. You with me? It didn't say you are living stones that he has built. We have not arrived, see. He said, you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. All right. See, it's good to come into the house of the Lord, amen, to fellowship together, to give God praise and glory, and to hear from the Lord, that we will be ambassadors for Christ, that somebody will be able to see something in these stones here that will cause them to want to trust the Lord. And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He dwells within us when we put our faith and our hope and our trust in Christ. He says, and you are living stones that God is building into a spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priest. Hello, holy priest. It didn't say male or female. You are his holy priest. When you come to Christ, there's something that takes place. You become a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a chosen generation that you it will show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. We are somebody. We're no better than nobody else, but we're better off because we got Jesus on our side. Amen. What's more, you are his holy priest through the mediation of Jesus Christ. You offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. What? Spiritual sacrifices? You mean it's not about offerings? It's not about the to-do list? But spiritual sacrifices of praise, of worship, of adoration, of visiting the sick, feeding the homeless, praying over those who are in need? You offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. As the scriptures say, I am placing a cornerstone in Jerusalem, chosen for great honor, and anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Hallelujah. Don't be ashamed to say Jesus in front of your friends. In front of your, wherever it may be. Listen, I'm on the Lord's side, you know, and it makes me mighty glad. Amen. Praise God. And look, closing out, you know, I was thinking about stones and all through the Bible, stones. But see, Jesus was put in a borrowed tomb. He was crucified, right? He hung on the cross. He gave up the ghost. Matter of fact, there was a thief on the side of him. This being, and he said, Father, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. Jesus stopped dying for a minute and said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. Amen. Keep on reading. Jesus, they say he breathed his last. He gave up. He said to Telestai, it is finished, paid in full. The job is done. Redemption for all mankind. Who wants it? So he dies. They want to keep the law, so we can't leave him hanging on the cross. The Sabbath is coming. We got to get him down and bury him. Now, you had the opposition that was against Jesus, those who wanted to refute who he was. But yet and still, they had something in the back of their head, what if it's true? And I imagine there's some people today that said, what if this Jesus thing is true? All right. And I keep rejecting it. So they put Jesus in a cave, in a tomb, in the wall, and then here's a big old stone, big old boulder, that they sealed the grave, the tomb with, and they put a big stick under and rolled it down where it covered the tomb where Jesus was. And I'm sure some people were saying, all hope is gone. The one who healed the sick, gave sight to the blind, unstopped deaf ears. He's gone. What are we going to do now? The big stone. Yeah, what do this stone mean? It means it is supposed to keep Jesus in. It means that it's all over, that Satan has the victory. Oh, but early Sunday morning, Matthew 28 and 1, now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, the first day of the week is Sunday. That's why we celebrate Jesus on Sunday. The Sabbath will always be the Sabbath, but the church was born on the first day of the week. On the first day of the week, thank God for the women in the church. Man, get a woman a hand. Because see, the men were scared. The men's life wasn't worth 10 cents. The men was hiding. The disciples was hiding. But the women said, oh, we got to see what we can do. All right. Mary Magdalene, the one who had 7 demons cast out of her, and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, listen to this. I got to close out on here. And behold, it's like, look here. Guess what? And behold, there was a great earthquake. It didn't say an earthquake. It didn't say an aftershock. It said a great earthquake. Now, I know all y'all full of faith and pretty tough. So if a great earthquake hit, y'all be sitting right here. No problem, right? I don't know about you, but my eyes would probably be this big. I'd say, well, I can't, you know, find something to, yeah. So a great earthquake, okay, who's in charge of the elements? Who's in charge of the rain and the snow, the volcanoes and the ocean deeps and the mountains high? Who is the one who parted the Red Sea? Who stopped the flow of water in the Jordan? The same God we're talking about hung on the cross, and it says, and behold, there was a great earthquake. Listen to this. I love this. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven. It's bad enough it's a great earthquake. Now you got a heavenly being lit up like a Christmas tree coming down. Woo. And it said, and came and rolled back the stone from the door. And he said, what do these stones mean? Here's this heavenly being sitting on this stone that was supposed to keep Jesus in. Guess what? The stone wasn't moved for Jesus to get out. He was already gone. The stone was moved so the people could get in and see he's no longer there. He's risen just like he said he would. Thank you, Jesus. What does these stones mean? What stones are we leaving? What is our legacy? What's going to be the memorial? You go to somebody's house and it ain't good or bad or whatever, but you go to somebody's house and you see St. John 3:16 on the wall. You go somewhere else, you may see Lou Rawls on the wall, but it's memorials. It's something to say about the person who lived here. But we are living stones, people of God. That's all I'm saying. We are living stones, lively stones, in God's temple, in God's building. And when our children ask, Mama, why do you go to church all the time? Daddy, why are you praying all the time? I want to talk to you. When your children ask you, why do you go into the prisons? When the children ask you, why is it that when everything is falling around us and little boo-boo has got problems in jail, why are you still praising God? When they ask you, what do these stones mean? It means that there's a God who's worthy to be praised. It's a God, son, daughter who can carry you through life, who will allow you to be all that you can be. That's what these stones mean. So keep on being stony. Keep on praising God. Keep on blessing his name. What do these stones mean? What's the stone of three pieces? What does it mean? Of whatever fellowship you have, what does it mean? When you get dressed up for church, what does it mean? What do these stones mean? When the child look at you, see the tears rolling down your face. What do those stones of tears mean? It means that I may be hurting on the inside, but I'm praising God on the outside. And I'm trusting him, and he's going to make a way out of no way. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. I love Isaiah 40:28. Have you not known? Have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he faints not. Neither is weary, there's no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. Young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Woo! Mount up with wings as eagles. Run and not get weary. Walk and not faint. Mothers, hang on in there. Mothers, hold on to God's unchanging hand. Mothers, continue to pray for your children. Continue to cry out for them. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Fathers, Lord, bless the men of God. Yes, Lord. The bereaved, the wounded, the sick, the infirm. Pour out of your spirit, Lord. Bless your people in a very special way. We thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Why don't we stand to be dismissed? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Is there anyone today, whether you're here or wherever in cyberspace, you want to give your life to Christ? This is a good time to do it. You know, and this is no moot point here in church services. It is real because everyone who comes to Christ come by the way of the altar. Come by way of surrendering everything to him. I pray for young couples. I pray for those with young children who are facing so much opposition. So much stuff is happening. We need Jesus. We were so excited. We were coming back from the prison. We were at the prison, and on our way up there, and Brother Tyrone gets a text that his sister's test came back. No cancer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. See, I'm just talking about the God we serve. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Oh, God. So if you want to make that decision, today is your day. You know, we ain't going to drag you up here, lay you out on the floor or nothing, but make it up in your mind and your heart, in your heart, that you're going to live for God, that you're going to ask him to forgive you of your sins, that you believe that his son, Jesus Christ, came and died for the sins of the world, and you want him to take control of your life. It's that simple. Pray a prayer like that from your heart to God, and we welcome you into the kingdom of God. Amen. In the name of Jesus. So, Father, we thank you. We thank and we praise you for this time of fellowship. We thank you for every family that's represented here. We thank you for all the babies that are here today and the harvest that's been so graciously provided for, that you would, the food that's been prepared, God, that you would sanctify it, make it nourishment to our bodies, God. I pray for every family here in this place. Meet every need, God, according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Help us to keep it in our mind, what do these stones mean? Help us to walk carefully before you, before others, that somebody may see your good works through us and give you praise. So, Father, if there's someone with a hard thing that they're dealing with, seem like no end in sight, God, I pray today that you would lift the heavy burden, that you would step in and work that situation out. And that person will boldly come to the throne of grace, giving you glory, honor, and praise, letting the world know that the Lord did it one more time. So, Father, as we dismiss from this place, as we go in the fellowship area, we go to our separate places, be with us, go with us, meet every need. Thank you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise God. Be dismissed.